All right.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
You sent me some tweets. Zora Mundani is so powerful.
The Loomer one is just like...
Dude, it's crazy. He got along with Trump. Mamdani and Trump got along, and Marjorie Taylor Greene resigned, and Laura Loomer's spinning out. The gall to get on with a Muslim man in America.
Yeah, it's true. A brown man from New York, the mayor? Question mark. And now respect it.
No, it's gonna say like, listen. We'll go ahead and rip this Band-Aid off, listeners. I know the episode you just heard. We said we're gonna be recording a little sporadically. Well, something happened that we had to emergency record this weekend. The great peace summit of our generation, Zoran and Trump got on like old pals.
Yeah, well, it was certainly at least one-sided, if not two-sided. But we are recording sporadically because that was recorded, the other episode was recorded 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I guess not so much old pals, but like, it'd be like running into someone at your high school reunion. It's like, bro, Alec, bro, it's me. Don't you remember me? And you're like, oh my God, you were such a fucking dick to me. Why would I want to talk to you? Bro, we always thought you were so funny, man.
Yeah. People coming up to you at micro Satan shows and being like, Connor, what's up? And you're like, what?
Don't you remember when we threw you in that trash can, bro? You were hilarious, dude. It's like, yes, I remember you throwing me in a trash can and calling me a communist.
Do you remember that dude that set up the high school reunion that we had? Like him being chummy, and it's like, you would never even talk to me. What are you talking about, brother? Like,
our high school reunion sucked so much. I mean, I have fun because you and I went together, but do you remember how it was going to be open bar, and then the guy organizing it was like, hey, y'all, I it's kind of expensive. I need everybody to pitch in. Basically, like, go fuck yourself. We're not doing it.
Fuck yourself.
Like, yeah. And he tried to charge everybody after the fact. So it's like, see ya. See you at the 20.
See you later, bitch.
Yeah.
Anyway, so our feeds were graced by this, like, unbelievable event, right? Which I assume, unless you live under a rock, right? I know that some of our listeners don't actually use like Twitter and are not like media addicted fiends like us, which is bizarre to be honest with you. but there was like, apparently I learned only after the fact that Zoran Mamdani, mayor-elect of New York, right, himself, and by the way, right, like Democratic Socialist, and one of the recent kind of leftist successes in current politics, that he actually requested this audience with Trump to like speak with him, which I thought I didn't know how this thing came about, but he asked to meet him, and on Friday they did, and they sat down apparently in the White House and talked mano a mano, and then they had this press conference afterwards, which. I mean, Connor, do you want to describe it? It's like, it's so fucking weird given...
Trump loves him. Like, Zoran is rightfully and understandably a little guarded. You know, he isn't like rubbing Trump's arm or patting him on the back. But, you know, the media is asking Zoran a few gotcha questions. You know, it's a predominantly conservative press pool now. And they're trying to ask some layup gotcha questions on Zoran. And Zoran begins to deftly navigate them, and Trump shuts them down. It's like, you don't have to fuck these people. They're all pigs. I hate the media just like you, pal. Like, don't give them a fucking anything, Zoran. Habibi, what are you doing?
I mean, to the question, what is it to the question, like, do you believe that Trump is a fascist?
Yeah.
And he starts with, like, maybe the one thing that I don't like about Mamdani, which is, his answers are very calculated. They're very neutral. They're very politics, right? Because he has opinions, obviously, from the past that are pretty, I guess, extreme, right? But not for maybe the public, but extreme for, a media landscape and standard American politics that could get you tripped up, right? Especially surrounding Israel, especially surrounding Trump. And to ask him in front of Trump whether or not he thinks he's a fascist, and he starts going into this, well, you know, basically some calculated response. And what does Trump say? Trump says like, I don't worry about
it. You can say yes.
It's, you can say yes. It's nice. And he just goes like, yes, I do. Right. It's like,
or then there's the question of like, so Zoran, you flew here. Why didn't you take a train? Isn't a train more greener?
God.
And even Trump and Zoran tried to say like, I will try to take every mode of transportation I can. And Trump chimes in again. He's like, I'll give it to you this one. It's faster. All right. It's just easier. Just give him a Every question they tried to get Zoran on, Trump was just like, come on. What are we doing? Leave him alone. And when we saw this, Alec, I immediately sent you a bunch of tweets. We sent each other the same tweets. Like,
yes, literally, yes.
Yeah, Twitter has rolled out a new chat function that is making it impossible for me to see anything Alec sends me. Unless
it makes it just not work half the time, which is great. Wonderful improvement, Elon. Thank you.
We'll circle back to that at the end of this record. I do have something to say about that. But for now, like, we're sending each other these tweets, and I call Alec – and I'm like, hey, I think we've got the opportunity here to really dissect this because I think we understand what's happening here on a few different levels. And the reason why is, look, I know what my politics are. If you listen to this podcast, you know what my politics are. I'm pretty left-leaning, but I feel more comfortable around Texas conservative good old boys, Louisiana conservative good old boys than I do around like my Houston DSA members, right? And I think it's just
in some ways, I mean,
in some ways. Depends on what we're talking about.
Exactly. There you go.
Like if we're talking about the Avatar movies, I want to hang out with the good old boys. If we're talking, I don't need to know why I shouldn't watch the Avatar movies, but no, there were a few things here, you know, it's Trump and Zoran. Zoran does not like Trump, we can see. But Trump likes Zoran. And I think some of the things are, is, you know, they are both people who were absolutely hated by their respective parties. And they won, despite the odds, despite the lack of endorsements from party leadership. They managed to get by on grassroots donations as well. I mean, Trump didn't need grassroots donations, but he had the popular support. There was also the fact that... they were both hated by the media, and Trump hates the media. Trump hates the media.
Possibly more than anyone else.
We know this. He thinks they're very unfair to him. They're very unfair. And so he talked about how Trump talked about when he met with Zoran, he got to actually hear Zoran's views. And he even was very candid about, when I turn on the news, I don't hear these views. I hear different views than what Zoran's actually telling me. So Trump immediately thinks, you've been fucked over by the media just like me. You're from Queens, just like me. You're hated by your party, just like me. You're a fucking winner, just like me.
Yes, yes. And I think crucially, it's the winning, right, that counts the most. Because Trump was also very, he said New York was doomed. He said he probably wouldn't give New York any money if Zoran won, right? He called him like an Islamic
jihadist.
Communist. It's a jihadist terrorist. Right? And now for him to like smile at him and be chummy and like give him, by the way, like, a kind of carte blanche in front of like a very aggressive and bad faith response from like a conservative media apparatus that's in his Oval Office, right, is astounding. It's like, but it fits Trump. And the reason, right, that we were talking about like our uncles before is both Connor and I were like, this reminds us of like our uncles.
Yeah, it's the uncle that's like, you've heard them get drunk and say something that you never want to repeat ever, but they still think you're really cool. Like, man, I remember when I was your age and I was all idealistic, but fuck, man, keep fighting that fight. Just hold on a little bit until you start paying taxes, you know what I mean?
and about leftism specifically, right? Like, I promise you, I've like heard this conversation probably multiple times, like where like History Channel uncle guys will who are like staunchly, by the way, like anti-left or like anti-communist or whatever, like back from the Cold War, but will tell you like the couple facts that they know about Stalin and like how much respect they have for a guy who can, you know, like keep it together and, you know, just doesn't take any shit, right? And like that to me is, you know, it's a little bit different than what Trump, I think his motivation is, but it's similar.
Well, we also talked about, like, there are some, and we've seen this with Fetterman, and we're seeing this a little bit with Plattner as well, is there are similarities with Trump voters and these kind of people running as progressives. We'll say that for now. You know, we're holding on to a little bit of skepticism, and Fetterman has already proved us right on that. But, you know, they see some commonalities with their quote-unquote extremes of their respective party platform. And, you know, I think we've said this on the podcast before, but it's a very relatable thing when we've talked about my parents living in Galveston. We all have me and my parents have very malice approaches to landlords.
Yeah.
And we agree. Yeah, we all agree on, like, Airbnb should not buy up all of Galveston. This is insane.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, like, for all of, like, I think Zoran's kind of mealy-mouthedness, his like, the thing that he does all the time, which is, like, I would say, like, Obama impression, it's not as grating as, like, Pete Buttigieg, if you, like, remember any of that. But it does bug me a little bit. But I like the things that he's saying, right, generally. So, like, I
find
a lot...
What do you mean Obama impression?
I think Zoran Mamdani does, like, an Obama impression. I think his, like, cadence and the timbre of his voice and, like, I feel like he's just doing an Obama. Like he spaces his words out in exactly that, the kind of the way that, like, Obama would, like, soliloquize when he talked about policy. I think a lot of people do that. I mean, I associate it with Obama. It might not literally be him. But I do sense it, and, like, I've talked to other people, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I think he does it too."
This explains why you got drunk and tweeted in all caps, "Obamdani." Oh,
yes, famous Obamdani. Oh my god!
One of my favorite things Trump did say during all of this is when they asked him, like, "Do you think that he's a jihadist?" And he said, "No." No, I think he's my mayor. And then the reporter followed up saying, but Elise Stefanik is campaigning right now and said that he's a jihadist. And Trump just is so candid again, saying, like, yeah, well, you know, you say things during a campaign.
You say things. Yeah, you say things. We lie. You know, it's fine. I was going to say, like the thing that was so beautiful about the interview is how he immediately made common ground with Trump. He's like, so Trump, I know a lot of Trump voters, and I know a lot of Trump voters voted for me. And, you know, Trump ran on an affordability agenda, and you could just see Trump, like, looking up, because he's sitting at the Oval Office desk. He's looking up at Mamdani and just, like, beaming. Because he is, like... He's making common ground. He's obviously, like, trying to make Trump look good, and Trump appreciates it from another winner, right?
Yeah. Who's not a sycophant. Trump.
Yes. Oh,
Trump.
Yeah.
Trump is so interesting, paradoxically, in that he demands loyalty, but he hates a kiss ass.
He hates anybody who gives it to him. And, like, somebody else pointed it out, I think, on, like he's been so surrounded by like, sycophantic morons this administration. One, he's, like, probably got to be pretty sick of it. And people that are constantly just, like, walking into his office attempting to dictate something that, like, he doesn't even really believe, like, fucking Miller and, you know, Bannon before him, right? Like, who he famously fired.
Dude, it's the episode of The Sopranos where Tony's at the restaurant and everyone's laughing at his jokes and it's all in slow motion. And he realizes, like, they're only laughing because I'm the boss.
Exactly. And Mamdani, right, respectively, is this now this, like, powerhouse figure that, like, the Democrats, by the way, hated, with Trump openly acknowledges that the Democrats don't like him, which is awesome. And then obviously has, like, captured the heart of, you know, an energetic movement of people, like, on the left, and talks in a way that's, like, that resonates with Trump's, at least his attitudes about American populism, I suppose, right? If not, like, the nature of his presidency, obviously not. And so seeing him, like, be so happy about it and try to, you know, take some of the shine off of Mamdani by, like, smiling and patting him on the arm or whatever in, like, the Oval Office is really just astounding.
I wonder if they kind of had, you know, they're both from New York. I wonder if they had a candid talk. Could you, like you just said, Trump maybe doesn't really believe a lot of the things he's saying. I wonder if they had a conversation about the possibility of ICE or Homeland Security storming New York, and Trump's just like, I gotta tell you, if they take out my favorite bodega, I will be a mess. You gotta get it the Aki way. Don't forget to chip. Never, never, never. You gotta get it this way, Zoran.
Is that a sandwich thing? I don't know what that is. I don't know anything.
A chopped cheese with chips the Aki way, man. Come on. You don't know the Aki way?
I haven't been to New York, and I will probably never go to New York again before I die, Connor.
Really? Do you hate New York?
No. I just don't have time or inclination or.
Bro, once your kids start going to school, you and me, boys trip, propaganda.
Boys trip. Let's go.
You heard it here first. Propaganda's live, Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
We are opening up for Louis C.K. and...
wait.
No, but I and all jokes aside, I wonder if they did have a candid talk about like. You know, does Trump really want to see New York full of like soldiers? I wonder if he has a bit of like a romantic nostalgia for New York, living right. in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's. I mean, I know that he has a vision of New York that he wants, like successful and to be preserved in a way. I just think. I think that the New York he's envisioning is like a bygone one where he gets to leech off of construction contracts, right? And like for a number of reasons, that New York is not going to exist. Not that there won't be other New Yorks for Trump to, you know, gross himself off of, including, I mean, there's a lot of like conspiracy going on around like what could a Mamdani, right, one who wants to build a basically public housing in New York, what could he promise to Mr. Trump that it would make him so amiable to him, right? Like, I'm not saying it happened, but like, I don't know. If building public housing means corruptly throwing Donald Trump a couple bones, I don't give a fuck, man.
We're in a really interesting, it's pretty interesting watching some of the discourse form around this. I'm seeing more of it on Instagram within my communities, but there is a like Kashama Sawant of formerly of Seattle's city council, now running for Congress, I believe. She was disgusted by it. She was very upset that Zoran would even give Trump the time of day to even stand next to him. And it's, you know, do we have something where we're going to need some coalition building there? I think so. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, to get anything done, you will need to kowtow and suck up to powers that are like deeply evil and in ideological opposition to you, right? You're not the Bolsheviks in 1919. Like, I don't know like what to tell these fucking people. They're like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think it's one of those things. It's like, you know, why didn't they ask the Twitter guys, right? Like what the Twitter Marxist Leninists, what they thought about like sitting down with Trump. Like, I don't know, man, fuck off. Like, by the way, it directly in line with that other Mamdani news, it's even more niche, is like Chi Ose, if you know about that, who's like another New York DSA guy who is going to try to run to unseat Hakeem Jeffries now. So like there was a lot of Twitter discourse about that, and you know, lefty circles, most of whom do not live in New York. So it's just, I don't know,
dude. I
can't possibly wade into New York DSA internal politics because I don't know anything about that. But if you're telling me that the mayor that just won should not attempt to cross certain political boundaries with unsavory figures to try and get policy done for New York, the place that he ran in and promised to get stuff done on, you're just not like serious politically. So
yeah,
sorry, I don't know what to tell you, right? It's not, by the way, it's not, I'm sorry, it's not the same thing as like a making out with like Benjamin Netanyahu or something,
right?
He did not smile, he did not like congratulate and fucking like you know, endorse a Trump or something. I don't know. Look, there's some level on which you have to get along to get anything in the United States. If you take umbrage with that, hey, look, don't participate in electoralism. Try not to comment on it too much because you're just being annoying. And again, right, like I say every fucking episode, hope you're training with guns, right? Because that is the logical outcome of not wanting to participate in any of the like political structure of American politics.
Yeah. And I do want to point out as well as, like, not only does Zoran say it's not a good idea to run against Hakeem in the primary, but AOC has also said this. So, like, the new New York City machine that is effectively taking out these older New York City machines, you know, even they're just like, hey, not right now.
Well, I mean, that's like, and let's not spend too much time on this, but like, right. Those are people who have, like, they have won. Now they're trying to get something done, and they from their standpoint, right, this could possibly upset the apple cart, which is their project, right? AOC's personal project, or the project of a movement that, you know, a movement that's behind her that has accomplished at least her election, right? If nothing else. I mean, I too am disappointed possibly by AOC or whatever. Mamdani is not even the fucking mayor yet, right? And is possibly also personally frustrated by the possibility that the thing that he has accomplished, right, which is winning the mayor's seat, could be possibly undone by the fractious nature of this this run for Congress, right? Yeah. That sounds totally possible.
Yeah. Right? Absolutely.
And it's totally understandable given, like, where the other two people sit.
On AOC, I know I said this in one of our phone calls earlier this week, but we were talking about ZEI squirrel. What do we call them? ZECIA squirrel.
ZECIA.
But no, it's just that Rashida Tlaib introduced a resolution to recognize Israel's assault on Gaza officially as a genocide. And I've been surprised. I mean, AOC signed on to sponsor it, which, like, you know, I was not surprised there. But I saw Maxwell Frost and Ro Khanna. I mean, Ro fancies himself as a progressive, but, you know, some of the things he does and says and posts, maybe not. But Maxwell Frost was a pretty pro-Israeli guy, took a lot of money from AIPAC, and even he's, like, you know, pivoting to acknowledging that it's a genocide. But yeah, I've just been, you know, you and I have talked extensively about anytime AOC does anything slightly less than just, like, you know, hunger striking, the left calls her AOCIA, that ZEI squirrel calls her a genocidaire. I'm like, I don't think it's that.
I don't know. I am going to choose to not have an opinion about this is what I'm going
to
say.
Ah, no, you have an opinion. We don't have to.
I can personally be disappointed in these leaders, as I am personally disappointed with the United States at large, right? About Gaza, for instance, or whatever. And that does not discount that leftist, if not, like, internationalist change in the United States can be brought about only by electing people to positions of power that then get stuff done that they tie into the ideology that they purport, right?
Yeah.
If leftists get elected and then they can't show anything for it, they're not going to keep winning. You're not building anything, right? So if you have a handful of these people and you constantly critique them for not being left enough, well, you know what? Like, that might be true, right? And I might agree with that on some level, but I certainly understand that that they function within a paradigm that is, like, if not, like, totally combative to, like, the things that they want to get done, like, totally oppositional, at least in majority oppositional, and you're gonna have to make concessions, right?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I've been very frustrated with so Lena Hidalgo is our Harris County judge down here, and have you seen any of the news of Lena Hidalgo?
No.
Oh man. Okay. So she was getting a lot of racist attacks during COVID, and she took a brief mental health break, and, you know, I was on board. I was like, good. Like, they are tearing you apart when you're just trying to keep this city afloat, and she came back seemingly with a vengeance, and she is just. I think it's time for her to resign, unfortunately. There was an incident where she paraded out. So basically, there was an effort to get a tax increase to pay for child care programs in the county. And she just didn't have the votes, right? It was just not there. And so she had three daycares in the city bring all the kids there. And she brought the kids out one by one to ask, like, how are you going to vote today? And if they said no, they're like, oh, and they walked away. She did not get authorization from the parents to do that.
Oh, God.
And then there was a meeting where she said, we're clearly not here to work for the people of Houston, so I'm leaving. And she left the meeting early, and it was seen as like, hell yeah, she is not going to waste time while all these conservative men are fucking everything up. And it turns out she left early to go catch a Hans Zimmerman concert. So she could go watch the Pirates of the Caribbean theme live. And I only bring this up because one of the things she was doing was bail reform, and she refused to compromise on it. And what we saw in the city of Houston is an increase in just like a revolving door of quote unquote nonviolent offenses. So there'd be people just like, I broke into a bar, got arrested, I got out 2 hours later, and I went and go to break into another bar. Because I'm sorry, but when you have bail reform, you also need to have something that attacks the root cause of these things. Otherwise, it's like, well, you got arrested and we're sending you right back out into the world with no improvement in your social
standing. Yeah, classic. I mean, yeah, the material conditions that caused you to commit crimes have not changed in the past 2 hours, right? Like, clap. Right. Good job.
I liked her policies, but she refused to compromise. And now she's probably going to get replaced by Anise Parker, our old mayor. The one who...
So to bring us back, if you don't mind.
Sorry, we're getting a little scattered.
I have been like actually delighted, I would say, to see the chaos that was the Mamdani victory. Meaning, like, it could, by the way, speaking of Hakeem Jeffries, like having to like last minute kind of just like, I guess this guy's okay. I guess I endorse him, right? To a Democrat's kind of openly trying to claim that. That these people are kind of, you know, that this victory is the Mamdani's victory is like part of a broader liberal project as opposed to something that they fucking hate and like that, you know, the party heads didn't actively against. And then now seeing that same thing on the right, right? Like that the Loomer tweet that I sent you.
Put some bongos underneath me and I'll read Laura Loomer's tweet.
Do you just want to read the tweet? Read it real quick.
All right. Why did Zelensky receive a harsher welcome at the White House than Mamdani? Interesting. If socialists are doing a good job, then I guess nobody needs to vote them out during the midterm. If you're a Republican, why not just stay home in 2026 and 2028 since Mamdani's policies are amazing? I'm confused. No need to oppose the left, I guess. I guess socialism is comfortable now. No need to vote for the GOP in 2026. That's the message I'm getting from that. Am I missing something? Respect.
Respect.
Drop the mic.
Snapping. Yeah. What is that? Beat poetry. Let's
beat
go,
poetry.
Dude. So like
words
that
wound, words that blind, words that confuse me in my mind.
Like, that's the kind of shit that I'm slurping up with a fucking straw, man. Which
Dude,
is like
she was, one thing she said that it made her like horrified to see Mamdani, a socialist Muslim, standing behind the White House desk, the presidential desk,
the like, resolute desk,
the resolute whatever. Like, I don't give a fuck. This American mythology is so dorky, but it's she's spinning the fuck out.
And by the way, have you seen Laura Loomer's like new face?
Yes, I have.
She looks like femme Jay Leno. these people, I think in part, right, like Trump's political instincts, you can't really tell what Trump thinks, right? Not, and it doesn't really matter, but he certainly knows that, right? Like a brown Muslim man running like as a socialist, right? Like this is red meat for his base. So he talks like that regardless of whether he believes it or not. He knows these people do believe that. And then the utter betrayal of him, like, I guess because like Epstein is just, I mean, I we don't talk about Epstein much on the program, but like it's gotten very, very bad for
it
him.
It has gotten bad,
especially like with his supporters. Right. And just like the economy now souring and we're probably in a recession, if not, you know, heading into a depression or something. Just everything is going so poorly for him. and him kind of in the moment realizing that this is a way to drum up some buzz and some goodwill, right? By standing next to like Mamdani and just stabbing in the back or the face, right? Like people like Loomer, these like white nativists, at least for a moment, right? I'm sure he'll go back to being like, you know, I'm sure he walked out of there and said something, you know, enormously hateful towards Muslims or you know, people from people from Pakistan or whatever, Africa. But goddamn, if it is not delightful to see like Loomer have to turn on the fridge, like Fox News to have to do like, you know, triple back like pivots to try to like get around the fact that Trump just like smiled or like to insist that basically he's doing 5D chess or whatever that shit, you know, you remember all that crap.
Yeah.
Delightful.
5D chess. Like, why would he be smiling with Mamdani when J.D. Vance is right there? Like, yeah, I'm sure he really wants to hang out with J.D. Vance again.
And this being, like, on the heels of him, you know, like, basically holding hands with Mohammed bin Salman or, like, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia this week when he visited the White House. Him just, like, him both beaming and him, like, reaching across to, like, touch him over and over. It's, I mean, it must be driving these people fucking crazy.
And, oh my gosh, who is the Ahmad al-Shara of Syria as well?
Yes, Jelani.
You know what? I think maybe Trump just likes Muslims now.
He's converted, man.
Yeah, he's met a couple. They've given him $1 billion through his cryptocurrency, and now he likes them.
I love the idea of him like not being able to tell them apart and being like, now which one are you, which country, point to it on the map, dude. Were you the one that gave me the plane or I can't remember?
Did you see that clip of Trump talking to al-Shara? Is it al-Shara or al-Shara?
Yeah.
Which
I still like to call him Jelani because it's funny.
I'm not doing that.
He was a fucking ISIS guy.
He ain't anymore.
Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, and you were a 4chan guy. Do we hold that against you?
Yes. Yeah, you should still, if I was in a position of power, yes.
Yeah. God, look at you. You're defending Graham Platner, and yet you insist on calling him Jelani. I think you should re-listen to our Riyadh Comedy Festival episode, Alec.
True. I mean, also, like, if I took my shirt off and there was just, like, obviously some kind of Nazi symbol covered up with, like, a stupid, like, Polish, like eagle or something, and you're like, what is that? And it's like, you know, people change, Connery.
Yeah, people change. Come on. But that clip where he was just like, you can, when he's like, giving him a watch or something, you're like, how many wives do you have? Oh, just one? Cool. I never know with you guys.
Yes. Oh, fuck. I forgot about that.
Which is, it was like, seen as so cringe. And I'm like, maybe we could cut this. But it's like, I think he's just like a normal guy who, like, you know people in Lake Charles that are just like, not afraid to talk or ask like a question that might be considered uncouth with like someone with a different background.
I mean, have you ever had the experience that you think a joke is a little bit racy, but you didn't quite understand how racy it was?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not that Trump gives a fuck or like whatever. No. You know, it's not like he's gonna say sorry, right?
Yeah.
He's gonna have to apologize because he insulted the man.
Another big big dub, I guess. I don't really know. It's the statement is kind of alarming. But Marjorie Taylor Greene resigning. Do we want to talk on that?
Oh yeah. I mean,
she resigned over the Epstein files more than Mamdani.
She said she was getting a lot of internet hate, which I assume basically means she got a bunch of, I mean, like, I'm being conspiratorial here, but this is American politics. She got a bunch of calls from like the Israel lobby and maybe a shitload of like actual IRL harassment. I mean, people were literally tweeting like the pager memes at her and like Megyn Kelly and stuff. So it's like, I don't know, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's pretty freaky shit.
I think the Israeli pager memes, if that didn't come when she said we should be allowed to say Jews killed Christ.
Yeah.
I'm not as cynical or conspiratorial about this. I think it was simply like she ran as a conspiracy theorist And like, this is what happens when you build, like, we talked about this in an earlier episode of like, dude, if your base is conspiracy theorists, they're not going to believe a single fucking thing you tell them.
Exactly. Yeah, true. Well, I mean, unless, I don't know, right? Like, if her resigning is her personal disgust with the fact that, you know, maybe the Epstein files have revealed that QAnon is true, but Trump's a part of it, right, or whatever. Yeah. Or if the fact that, right, she's discovered that America First is actually just like a rebranding of the same kind of, you know, austerity bullshit that's always.
Yeah.
You
know, I mean, like, she's already said, she's like, I'm no longer MAGA, I'm America First. Like, she changed her hat because, I mean, she saw how much money was going to Argentina. She saw how much money was going to Israel. She's definitely an anti-Semite. I'm not going to doubt that.
Yeah.
And in her resigning or resignation statement, she is highlighting and lifting up American women. It's American women, yeah, right?
I think we should highlight that, like, MTG is still insane and evil, right? Like, none of this makes her good. Her changing her opinion about, like, whether or not, you know, American politics are subservient to Israel, right? Which, you know, is a thing I kind of agree with. Doesn't change any of the other shit, for sure.
And a woman of a certain age who is that obsessed with, like, MAGA and sex trafficking, and is also that obsessed with, like, CrossFit. Read between the lines, people. This is a deeply personal thing for her. This is something that has probably affected her. And being in the South, absolutely.
I never even considered that.
Absolutely. Huh. Or just being from the, I mean, not saying, like, it's prevalent in the South, but I'm sure she, like, knows people in her life who've been affected by sex trafficking or sex crime. It is statistically impossible that she.
No, you're right. That's a very frequent driver of like hyper reactionary. I would say like sexual pathology or like obsession with like sexual crimes.
Yeah.
In the United States is some right, like, tragic early life or like familial or some experience with like sexual violence.
Of course.
Right, that then drives them to be like, you know.
And that's why they project all this stuff onto QAnon, because it's so much easier to imagine this, like, this cabal, this, like, you know, ritualistic cabal, than it is to accept that, hey, your uncle did something to you, right?
Right.
So
yeah,
we dehumanize our leaders, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, whatever. I mean, there's a reason why Alex Jones calls the Clintons, these people are goblins.
Yeah.
Bill Gates is a literal vampire who's escorting Mexicans to these plasma centers across the border. I mean, this is vampire.
True. True.
Yeah, real thing. But no, it's we do need to. I don't think we need to, but I'll say what I'm choosing to do is look at this as a human moment from Marjorie Taylor Greene, as opposed to, you know, oh, she's getting ready to go on Fox News. You think Fox News is going to host somebody who spoke out against MAGA? No. She ain't going.
She's cooked.
I don't see anything happening other than like maybe an independent thing.
Yeah, right? She could be like, she could become like, I don't know. I didn't see. I'm looking like. Is it like Voice of America? Not Voice of
One America.
America
News?
One America News?
No, because
like,
OAN,
it would have to be.
OAN is the only major news outlet that agreed to Hegseth's Pentagon rule.
Yeah.
And Trump put out a statement about Marjorie Taylor Greene, who he's now calling Marjorie Traitor Greene, which is very.
Damn, he finally found one that worked.
He
there
tried out Marjorie that Taylor worked. Brown, and there, yeah. And his original post, and his original post at the parenthetical is like Brown, because when green turns brown, it means that it's rotting. I'm like, thanks for spelling it out, Chief. Yeah.
Explaining the punchline.
Yeah, but he wrote a whole thing where he's like, Marjorie Traitor Greene had lost her mind. Her and Thomas Massey, a.k.a. Rand Paul Jr., that's what I call him. And then the final line is, but regardless, I wish her well and thank her for her service.
Please don't talk about that time I slapped your butt. And
which is, I think, a way of him to tell America, it's like, look, you can still be MAGA and I'll still love you. Just shut the fuck up about the Epstein files. Because it's like she's also not going to get hired at the Daily Wire. Candace Owens got fired.
I mean, it would literally have to be something like Candace Owens or like Nick Fuentes, like ultra, you know, ultra America First, right? Like, or just like some, you know, independent podcast or YouTube show or some stupid.
It's
shit
just
like
so
that.
Funny that the women who love Trump the most are fighting not only each other, but they're like disillusioned with Trump. Laura Loomer and Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yep. Yeah. And we will see with time, right? My actual like sober take is that even this Mom Donnie stuff, even as much as it like freaks people like Loomer out, my expectation is actually nothing will change because they tend to be able to forgive Trump for just about anything, right? Including like hugging and kissing like Mohammed bin Salman, who I'm sure they see as basically like the king of all the Muslims or something. like the guy who personally did 9/11 or something, right? Like,
well, wait, you mean he's not the king? Why did he tell me he was?
He's writing one of those like Bernie style emails to you that like, please, Connor, in this trying hour, we need donations to the, to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia Fund.
For just $5, you can have a piece of the neon wall.
Yeah. We'll put your name on a tile in the fucking. But maybe it is like a real fracture, right? Like I only time will tell. But again, this is just one of the weirdest things that Trump has ever done. It's so fucking funny. The Mom Donnie thing is what I'm talking about, right? Mom Donnie back clapping fucking press conference.
Do we have any more to say about Mom Donnie? Or
not really, man.
Okay. I mean,
He's already disappointing us, obviously. Us as true purveyors of real Marxist-Leninism, Maoism, Dengism, whatever. We know that that he's already betrayed the revolution and has always been an agent of the CIA. And and everybody that worked for him should feel ashamed of themselves. And the only true revolutionaries, you know, beep, like, you know, blah, 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 blah.
I think he's going to be fine. And he's also not my mayor. Hey, not my mayor, not my problem.
I will say I do not live in New York.
Yeah. I got a lot to say about John Whitmire, old Kojak down here in Houston. He's just fucking up the city. Dude, have you driven through Houston in the past year?
No. What's up? Sorry.
This fucking numbnuts approved like every, because we got the World Cup and the Super Bowl coming through soon.
Yeah.
And he approved every single fucking construction project at once. We have rush hour traffic all day, every day on the highways and on the streets. It takes forever to go from one side of town to the other now. It's awful. It sounds absolutely
like Houston
awful.
Has been upgraded to hot Chicago or something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what I remember from Chicago is like, you can't get around anywhere. There's traffic everywhere, including on just like residential streets. Everything's under construction constantly forever.
It's really bad. It's really bad. To go from the Heights to, like the museum district, you're going to hit three separate construction sites.
Holy fuck.
It's pretty bad. Anyway.
I got something to say about my representative, Clay Higgins, which if you've heard
the lion does not concern himself with the Epstein files.
Clay Higgins, my representative, the only guy in the House to vote against the Epstein file bill that Trump still signed. Very odd, Mr. Higgins, but you know, thankfully he's in a very safe seat down here in Southwest Louisiana. So
we'll see. Do you think that'll move the needle at all on him?
No. Oh. I think he's a good old boy. I think he's an ex-cop. I think he is a bald, a rotund moron, and he's got the regional accent. And I think that's going to basically keep him in there for as long as he wants to be in Congress.
You ain't got anybody down there. It's like, oh, we got to protect them children, shit. Well, we go all that blue.
Y'all heard about that island though? That ain't good, blue, y'all.
St. James, is that the parish? Never mind.
The parish? Never mind. Avery Island? The Tabasco? Little St. Tabasco.
Okay, so let's talk about Twitter then.
Swing low.
So Twitter.
Tabasco.
So Twitter has a new update right now where they tried to implement like a chat option. And so far, all it really does is it lets you add more emojis to your reacts, right? And you got to start you have to input a PIN number so that you can pull up your chat. And it is kind of fucking up Twitter beyond repair for me. And this is something that I've been really frustrated with lately is Twitter. I've been holding out on Twitter. You know, I still like it, even though Elon bought it and did whatever to it. Like, I think there's, it's very, very funny. It's a good way for me to see news that is not being covered by mainstream news outlets. However, the chat function is, there was a rumor that they were going to get rid of the chat function at one point. And Alec, you and I both are like, oh, didn't I just delete Twitter?
Because then I would just like leave. Yeah.
A bad opinion mill instead of being able to send like funny, unhinged shit to your friend. But instead, they kept chat and they just made it almost unusable if you like looking at Twitter on your phone, which I do. That combined with the fact that if you go through comment sections, my feed is okay. It's not that edgy. The comments on any post is just vile. And not only that, but it's starting to get like, is this even real? Is this a real person? Are you just a bot? And now there's yet another update that reveals the location of origin of the posters. Alec, what has been the most shocking revelation as to the thing?
The one that really flummoxes me is the one that I can't tell if it's real or not, which is apparently so a thing that happened is these things come about and then get reversed all the time because it turns out that it bricks all the people, right, that like Elon Musk likes, right? Like all the MAGA accounts, right? Like famously being like Indian or fucking Russian or like Middle Eastern, right? But the one that flummoxes me the most is a bunch of people have screenshots or sharing screenshots of the official DHS, the Department of Homeland Security Twitter account, which said that it was started in Israel.
Tel Aviv, Israel.
Yeah. That was apparently shortly followed up by an update that said that government accounts will not have their location revealed. I did not see the DHS one myself. Right? So I cannot confirm. But goddamn if that isn't freaky as fuck.
Yeah. The DHS also reposted that in a cheeky way, and that just sucked. So it's like, mask off, who fucking cares?
I mean, I actually could believe that, like, the Department of Homeland Security Public Relations Department is just, like, run out of Tel Aviv. That is, like, a thing that I could believe.
This might push us to really explore alternative outlets. Who knows?
This shit is gay. I don't know. Like, anyone can get a zillion million dollars if, like, they just make Facebook that doesn't suck. Just make Twitter that doesn't suck. I guess the answer is Blue Sky. Just get back on Blue Sky with my, like, account that I have and just, like, migrate all my shit over to there.
We'd be banned so quick on Blue Sky.
I don't know. I think I'd be okay with, like, not telling people to kill themselves anymore. Like, you can't do that on Twitter now either. They'll fucking, like, lock your account again. So it's just everything is bad and there's like Nazis all the time. And then it's back to like old Jack Twitter where if you tell anybody to kill themselves, they just lock your account for like two days.
Oh, poor Alec.
I want to tell journalists to kill themselves if they're bad. I remember like the thing that got my old account banned, which I think I told the dude that was on the Pope Hat podcast. You remember him?
Yeah.
Barrow. Josh Barrow, I told him to kill himself, and it locked my account forever.
Did you ever say that to Taylor Lorenz after she was caught taking money?
No. No, absolutely not. He's kind of cute.
Well, oh, my God. There it is. That's why the left isn't coming for Taylor Lorenz. That's why Joshua Citarelli threw her some fucking softball questions on Doom Scroll, because she's good-looking.
Wait, do you not like Taylor Lorenz?
I think Taylor Lorenz.
She's a good tech journalist.
I think she's. I don't think she's an ethical tech journalist. She took money from BarkBox.
I don't give a fuck.
Why not?
Because the people that I politically agree with, they have different standards than the ones that I don't.
Oh my!
And I'm open about it. I'm totally open about that.
Well, I'll tell you this, Alec. It is very difficult and lonely to have some fucking integrity.
It must be.
Yeah, it really is. That's like when California was going to gerrymander itself after Texas was rewriting everything. I was very alone and being like, I am against this. Like, and people were like, that's not the time. It's like, wow.
I don't care. I don't live in California.
Dude, I'm just so ready for Trump to stop being president anymore, because if I don't do what my liberal friends tell me to do, apparently I'm a fucking fascist. I didn't want to vote for Kamala. I didn't want to vote for the most lethal military in the world, and I did it anyway. I wanted to vote for I wanted to vote for Chase Oliver of the Libertarian Party.
There you go. There you go. Do you think we should have a driver's licenses? Boo! Boo! No. It's gonna be so funny when like Trump ignominiously dies in like 2 weeks when he like falls down the stairs off of like Marine One.
Yeah, it's gonna be something awful where there's a huge cover up and it turns out he farted so hard his skeleton shot out of his body or something. Like something so embarrassing. And they'd be like, he died like a lion fighting in the Oval Office.
There's a bunch of those AI paintings, right, like all over the walls of the Oval Office. J.D. Vance with a bunch of AI pictures of Trump behind him.
Have you been watching South Park?
No, God, no.
Dude, you should really watch the new season. I think you'd really like it.
But are they still doing the, like, Trump where he's like, meh, 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 meh?
Yeah, but
I don't like that.
What? Why not?
I think it's dumb, man.
It's not dumb. It's a callback to when they used to do things about Saddam Hussein, because they're saying like he's just like Saddam Hussein,
and they were wrong then.
But have you not seen J.D. Vance where he's like the Love Island sidekick? He's like, "Hello, boss. The plane."
No, I have not.
Oh. Dude, it's good. It's okay. I like it, and I think you're being a little bitch.
I'll give it a shot.
You should watch it. I think you should quit being a little bitch and watch it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
What can I watch it on?
Paramount Plus, or hang on, go to watchcartoononline.com.
.ru. / no ads.
Right, you got to disable your ad blocker. You're going to see some right, ads. Yeah. You got to see some ads.
You have to download a different web browser, a Russian web browser, to look at it.
That's what I use to watch South Park and Rick and Morty, because I'm like, I'm so fucking sick and tired of paying for everything. Dude, I'm a little concerned about this Paramount Saudi Arabia takeover of Warner Brothers.
Yeah, that's actually bad. Yeah, this is bad. It's not like the comedy thing.
No, it's a wild display of media capture. I mean, CNN could be owned by the Saudis, which, I mean, I'm of two minds here. One, like, there's more than just CNN. Legacy media should die anyway. We need to reimagine how we consume and think about and critique the news. Stop allowing the failing New York Times and the Communist News Network to, like, rest on their laurels. And also, I feel that it is bad that Saudi Arabia and the Ellison family are just buying up every single fucking media company.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what's worse, right? Like, CBS being owned by an Israeli proxy, or, you know, whatever, like CNN being owned by actual Saudi Arabia.
Man, I've got what some people are considering kind of a hot take here, which is just like, go make your own media. Community journalism. Like, community journalism is unfiltered through advertising.
Mm.
It is deeply personal to your community. I think we're seeing a big rise in Substack. I mean, King Klippenstein doesn't miss, man, and he's fucking amazing on Substack. But Ryan Grimm, Jeremy Scahill, they're also really good. Like, go to The Intercept, go to Breakthrough News, go to Dropsite. Like, there are places to go for news. And as for, like, entertainment, Dropout, Means TV. I mean, we had Alexa Speed from Cut Off the Spigot come on here to talk about this kind of thing. Like, just because the Saudis own Warner Brothers doesn't mean you have to keep watching Warner Brothers. You can go watch Watermelon Plus. You can go watch Nebula is a new one. There's all these different ways. And I do really think that, like, we've been media junkies have been wanting a revival of that indie era, getting away from the big studios. And this might be the catalyst that sets it all off. It might be the fact that, you know, this media monopoly or Saudi owned media is stagnant and it's not exciting. And suddenly there's an indie scene kicking off again online. We have the fucking tools. We just don't know how to use them, or we don't want to use them. And whenever people say, like, well, they're getting rid of jobs, this is my hot take. I don't care. If propagandos was my job, I would be so fucking miserable. It's something that I've complained about with Chapo. When you become a talking head.
Yeah, this podcast sucks.
When you become a talking head and you just, like, have to make sure. If we did a regular regular schedule, we'd eventually have episodes where we're like, I don't know what to talk about. I found this old show on Netflix. Let's just do this, right?
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't have. To the degree that we already possibly don't have, you know, novel enough, right, like takes on the news or like propaganda, right, sometimes. Because like sometimes I do feel like, well, this is what everybody thinks, right? Like my opinion is not that different than you know, pick some other like media thing, right? Like certainly if we did it every day, it would trend towards the mean, right?
Yeah. It'd be like Alex Jones. We'd find one conspiracy theory that got us a bunch of clicks. It was like, all right, this is our whole thing now.
Yeah. By the way, goddamn, Alex Jones, you know, finally having confirmed like all the things that he thought about the Clintons, but now it's about Trump and he's like, Epstein's not real, y'all. It's like, Jesus Dude. Christ, man. That sucks, man. You're such a sellout.
The spinning out of Alex Jones is truly one of this nation's deepest tragedies.
Yeah. I mean, he was right. We are run by pedophile vampires. But you gotta like, Trump's one of them, man. Yeah. You gotta just admit it at this point.
There's a great Matt Crisman quote. Well, I can't find it, but I do have this picture of Paul Newman on the sesame ginger salad dressing, and he's dressed like a ninja man.
Oh, the ninja one? Yeah. Hell yeah. You've seen the one where he has the rice patty hat on, right?
Yeah. And there's also the ginger mince one where he looks like a Chinese dragon.
I have not seen that one. Oh, damn, yeah. These used to own. these are pretty bad. The salsa one where he has like a big Mexican mustache and it's like a sombrero on.
That's right. Okay.
You used to be able to do some goofy shit on stuff that you sell at a grocery store.
Oh yeah. All right, I'm sending you.
No way. He is a dragon.
All right, that's gonna be the
episode art. Yep.
Episode art.
Yep. That's art. Awesome.
Well, do we have anything else to say? I think I fucked up by saying that I don't care if you lose your media job.
you just mean media jobs. I was like, Connor, that's kind of a hot take, man. But, oh, you just mean media jobs. Yeah, no, fuck them.
I don't know. We already – I'll stop because we already pulled an episode where I said that NPR has done more damage to this country than InfoWars. So let's Hey, you want to hear me? You want to hear me explain myself? Hop in that fucking Discord. Join the best community online. Discord was popping off this week. Just going to say, people were in chat Friday afternoon. We had a good 10-minute chat about Zoran and Trump. Maybe I should hop in the voice
channel. And it wasn't just Bossum this time. Just linking insane videos to us.
Oh, man. Well, I got nothing else. This is a good little emergency record. Do you have anything, Alec?
No, man. I'm good. Congratulations to Max Verstappen on winning the Las Vegas Grand Prix. And fuck you to Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri, I guess. They both dropped out. They're rewriting the F1 script so that Max can win another one, boys. Let's go.
Oh, I forget you're into F1 now because of your son.
I was wrong. I was editing the last podcast and I was like saying, you know, I'm not even that into F1. And yet I'm actually watching the race. I did fall asleep during the race, but I did watch the race, at least the beginning of it.
Okay, cool. That's cool, man. I'm
the top two guys for whatever. What's the team called? I don't actually know. Whatever, cut this. I don't care.
No. It's cool. I'm glad that you have your little hobbies.
So do you, bitch.
What little hobbies do I have?
You must have some hobbies. You watch Rick and Morty.
That's not a hobby.
That's kind of that's a hobby. McLaren. The top two guys in the like points or whatever are both McLaren drivers.
Yeah.
And both of them got disqualified because like, you know, this like thing, this like weight was like that was under their car was too small.
I'll say this. I dated someone before the person I dated before my fiance. We did not get on. We got on fine, but like we didn't last that long, right? Like a month or two. And one of the things that they said was, this was when I was like in the swing of my comedy era, and she like referred to it as a hobby, and I was like, not a hobby.
It's not a hobby.
it actually pays all of my bills, and my day job pays my rent.
Magic is a hobby for me, right? It's like a time and money suck.
that gives me nothing but a little bit of inner satisfaction, a little bit of entertainment, right?
There, gamers understand what I'm saying here, but like my fiance does not consider my gaming to be a hobby. She's like, this is just like part of who you are as a person. I'm like, I'm not a gaming hobbyist.
Yeah.
Game is
like a screaming gif of Marx, right? Like pointing at capital fetishism or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Consumer fetishism.
Hey, would you say that basketball was LeBron's hobby?
Didn't
think so.
In a way.
I just don't play competitive games.
There you go. All right. I gotta go. Much love to us. Much love to us. We're doing a great job.
Yeah, I love you, bro.
Oh, doggy. There's a doggy behind you.
That's my little dog. Yeah. Love you, man. I hope you're adjusting well to new babyhood.
I'm dying. We're both dying. We're just
it's all
good.
Every time I call you, you're just like, "Hey man, how's it going?" And like, you're putting dishes away, so it's super loud from the dishes, and then
it's just screaming.
Your two children are screaming, and then your wife is shouting like, "What is wrong?" to one of your kids. I'm like, "Hey, sounds great."
Is that
man.
Connor?
Meanwhile, I'm like, "Yeah, my dog was scratching so much it shook the bed when I was playing video games in it."
I taught my son to say "what" when I say "what," so we just go "what." And it plugs the fuck out of.
It's like a Macklemore song up in here.
There you go.
Nice, on that note, nice. Excelsior Propagandos, and as always, keep your eyes on the skies.